I have the great honor of introducing my brother this morning. I would ask that you would remember the words of the song that we just sang, that you would hold our brother up in your prayers, that he might be strengthened and supported by the power of God. I also ask that you would give him your undivided attention. Apostle Mike McGee.
Good morning. Something happened this morning that happens every time that I am to occupy. I get nervous. And I hope I always take this responsibility, this duty, but more than that, this joy in such a manner. I'm a little bit apprehensive because that song we sang, The Admonition, here at the East Local, a great many wondrous things have followed that song. Movings of the Spirit, calling. The Lord has spoke to his people many times here at the East Local. And I, a humble servant, hope to deliver the Lord's message this day. And I hope I measure up to that admonition. What I'd like to do as I begin is to tell you about a book I read that I started just before I left the Philippines. And it's a book entitled As the Crow Flies. And it's by Jeffrey Archer. And I wondered about that title to the book all the way through until the very end. And I didn't finish it till this last week. I'm a slow reader, but I've had a lot of distractions once I got back home. And so I didn't finish it until this last week. And I had a great many thoughts the Lord had placed on my heart for a sermon this day. And I didn't have really a title until I finished that book. And it's a story about a young man that came from a broken home. He grew up in England. Prior to the First World War. And he was taught of his grandfather how to earn a living, selling fruit and vegetable off a barrel and getting to know people, to take an interest in their lives and sharing his life with theirs and theirs with his. And he made a good living, an honest living. And he was drafted into World War I, or he enlisted. And he served as an enlisted man, and on throughout time in World War II, he was elevated to a cabinet-level position to supply the army and the people with food, fruits and vegetables, meat, a job he knew. And he started out as a pauper, and he became a very rich man. He started out selling fruits and vegetables from a barrel, a wheelbarrow, and he built a large department store, occupied several blocks. And it showed his early beginnings in poverty. It showed his end with immense wealth. And he started out selling on that barrow. And when he retired from the company because of old age, his wife didn't know where he was spending his days. And she had a friend followed him. And they discovered that just a matter of two or three blocks from where he first started, he was selling fruits and vegetables out of a barrel, doing what he enjoyed. And his chauffeur that drove him throughout London all during this period of time helped him sack the grocery. And his wife observed all this and remembered everything that had happened during their life together and before. And she observed, he's come a long way, but not far as a crow flies. He ended up doing what he loved in the beginning and in the end. And so what I'd like to do is to look at our lives here, our purpose here in this life, and measure it according to that title of that book, As a Crow Flies. And we have two milestones that mark our life. We have a birth into this life. We have a death out of this life. And in between is life and all the choices. And there are many choices. There are many, many distractions. But you that are assembled here this day have a goal. You have an ultimate objective. You have a place you hope to go, and that's to eternal life. And it's not far as a crow flies. In between is life. In between are choices. And it's up to us how we measure those choices, how we honor our God, and how we choose wisely. And something special happened during this last week, and I thought back to Alma and his sons in the 17th, 18th, and 19th chapters, where he sets his sons down and talks to them and measures their life in this life and their progress towards that ultimate goal. And I had opportunity to do that at the kitchen table with my grandsons. And I was paying bills. And I had Brett on the right, and I had Ryan on the left. And the subject came up. I don't know who brought it up. Death. And it seemed appropriate, paying bills, and we're talking about death. And they had questions about death and what happens when you die. They had questions about the body, where it goes, what happens. They had questions about what lives and what dies. They had questions about babies. What happens to them when they die? Sobering questions out of the mouth of babies. And I thought, as we go throughout this life and we have all these choices, we are also ambassadors every moment of our life. Whether we're at work, here at church, in schools, in our families, when we're shopping, we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, if you want to turn to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. And if you think about that, you and I are called to represent the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ here upon this earth, in our associations, in our lives, in our hopes, in our failures, in our tears, in our joy. You and I are asked to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A newness of life, a newness of creation. And we look at these little children in varying ages, and there is an innocence in them, and at the same time, there is a growth in the world, and they're exposed to the pressure, the problems, the choices in life, in this world. And you and I, as we become these ambassadors for Christ, as we come into Christ as little children, are innocent and pure, and then we're exposed back to the world again. But we're asked to keep ourselves free of the world. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Think about that. Who reconciles us back to our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ? And what does He expect out of us as ambassadors? To be a ministry of reconciliation to the world. To point out that there is a way back into the graces of God. There is a way out of this world into a life to come. You and I are asked to be those ambassadors, a minister of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And it is that word that we are to declare on a daily basis in our lives. Turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. As I told you this morning, I get nervous every time I stand and speak. And if there is anything good that comes out of my mouth, if there is any way that I am able to put the words and to form a sentence, it is because of the power of God and his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And again, we are between that milestone of birth and death. We are exposed to life and all the choices. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we can only wonder about how far darkness rules this world, and in what manner, and at what levels. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You and I have a stake in this together. Not only does God armor you and you and you, but collectively the body of Christ is armored against all the wiles of the devil. But it's our choice. And Paul goes on to say, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Those last two verses, I think, point to the priesthood's duties, responsibilities to stand and to preach boldly the word of God. But you and I are armored likewise against the wiles of the devil. Life is a series of problems. And this is a quote from Rick Warren. He's a pastor out in Los Angeles. Do I think he to be a priesthood member? No. But I think he to be a leader that seeks to lead men and women in the right way according to his understanding. My niece attends his church out in Los Angeles. And I can see a world of difference in her between she is a little girl, raised the way she lived, the things she did in the world. And I see that she has come out of the world because of the influence of a man. Do I think he to be a priesthood member? No. But I think he's a leader doing a good work for God. And he says, life is a series of problems. Either you are in one now, you're just coming out of one, or you're getting ready to go into one. And if you think about your life, that's what it really is. I look at my life now as age 61, and I'm able to look back over six decades. And I can see periods of peace and tranquility when there were not hard choices to be made. And I see that because of the health and the strength of the physical body. I see that because there was someone over me in charge of my life that took good care of me. And when that is removed, a leader, a family member that has charge of your life, when that's removed, you're exposed to the world. Or when the physical body, the strength of it, is removed from you, you're exposed to so many pressures in the world. So either you're in a problem, you're coming out of one, or you're getting ready to go back into one. Is it without hope? He goes on to say, Rick Warren, you can focus on your purposes or you can focus on your problems. If your focus is on your problems, you're going into self-centeredness. My problems, my issues, my pain. But one of the easiest ways to get rid of pain is to get focused off yourself and onto God and others. And that's what life is about. From birth to death, if we have our purposes established in God and each other, what is pain? What is sorrow? What are tears? They're to be shared with those that care about us, to be shared with the Lord Jesus Christ that watches out for us, and we have a hope because this life is not all that it is. There is more to life. This life is but a preparation, but a preparation. Proverbs 13:17 says, a wicked messenger, and we're ambassadors, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Not just to yourself, but to your brothers and sisters, to your family, to your neighbors, to your community, to everyone that you come in contact with. Turn in your songbooks to number 145. Number 145, are you witnessing for him? Just the first verse. Tell me, brother, worn and weary, toiling over life's pathway dim. Are you shedding light for Jesus? Are you witnessing for him? Are you seeking for the sinners, those whom Jesus died to win? Are you pointing to the fountain that can wash away their sin? And it tells us that in this life, in this stanza, that you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ are going to toil over a dimly lit pathway. Now, in the Philippines, I carry at least three flashlights with me. I'm prepared against physical darkness. But more importantly, you and I are asked to be prepared against a spiritual darkness. We're asked to be prepared with the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that we are to shed light upon that dimly lit pathway. Not just the one you walk, but that others walk with you. Not just that you can see, but that they can see by your example. Now, if we have this light, do we produce this light? We're asked to shed it. Do we produce it? If we produce it, it is a self-light. It's Mike McGee. It's you. And we're asked to shed the light of Jesus Christ. in shedding light, do we reflect light? And I thought about that for a long period of time. We mirror the image of Jesus Christ, but if we simply reflect his light, we're a hypocrite. Maybe with words only, nothing on the inside. I can give you lip service. Do you know what lies within? We're asked to shed light. And if we are to shed light, then we have to absorb his light. That song we sang, the admonition, every time, most every time we've sang that here in the East Local, something spiritual has happened. Something spiritual. We're asked to absorb the light of Christ as we are changed in the light of Christ. And if we are changed in the light of Christ, we're asked to shed that light of Christ. Not to simply absorb it, to relish in it, to enjoy it for ourselves. We're asked to spread it, to shed the light of Christ. Proverbs 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. We have a birth. We have a death. We have life in between. We have choices. We have problems. And we're asked to shed the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. His example. And how bright did the light of Christ shine during the period of time that he walked and talked and breathed and bled upon the earth. That light still shines today because he shone more brightly. And how bright will Christ shine when he comes back? We talked about the establishment of a new Jerusalem. When that will be, how bright will the light of Christ shine within us when that day comes? Path of the just is as the shining light. And if the light that is within us is to be as Christ, we must absorb his light. We must give that light. We must shed that light. Darkness, partially or entirely without light, neither giving nor receiving light. You can have all the light in the world within in you, but unless it is shed in Jesus Christ, you're not giving. You're not sharing. You're withholding. You're self-centered. In the Bible, there were three major times that light was talked about. The creation of the physical light that we see out today. And we suffer from the heat of it. But we're also blessed because of the heat of it. Too much is not a good thing. But there was a creation of light, and that by the power of Jesus Christ, a physical light. There was a period of time that that light was withdrawn to show the power of God when the plagues were upon Egypt. And we talk about warming in this time and day. We talk about all the plagues that are coming upon man. There was also a loss of that physical light when our Savior died. But the physical sun shone the next day. And the spiritual light continues to burn because of his sacrifice and his love. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis, the 4th chapter. Genesis 4, verses 1 through 7. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And as you read that, have you not wondered why Cain's offering was not acceptable? Did it follow the commandments of God? And if it did not, it was not acceptable. What was in his heart? Did he give freely or grudgingly? And if he gave in that manner, it was not acceptable. And yet the Lord continued to reach out to Cain. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? He asked Cain to look within, to measure what lay there in the light of Christ. And that the opportunity was still there for Cain to repent. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. His inheritance was still there within his grasp, spiritually, if he would take it. Forgiveness was still his to be had if he would come back to the Lord. If he would repent, if he would turn. But the Lord said, if you do not do this, sin lieth at the door. Again, we come into this life, birth, we leave this life in death, and life in between is fraught with problems, but also with choices. It's your choice, it's my choice. Who chooses how to deal with problems? You and I do. Who shows us how to deal with them? The Lord does. Do others see our example of how we deal with problems in our choices? You bet they do. They see our example. And does sin still lie at the door? It's not once saved, always saved. Sin is still within our grasp, as is forgiveness, as is being acceptable before the Lord. Steve and I are mechanics, and we get a lot of the blame when our customers' autos fail to start. It's our responsibility. We have builders and contractors in our midst, and if someone's home does not measure up, there's a weakness in it, it's their fault. You may have a major appliance that has failed you because the repairman did not do his work correctly. It's their problem, their responsibility. It's always easy. When my back hurts, it's his fault. It's always easy to point the finger at somebody else. But ultimately, whether it's your back, whether it's your auto, whether it's a major appliance, whether it's your home, it's the owner's responsibility. Ultimately, you pay the bill for it. It's your responsibility. Ezekiel 33, verses 2 through 7, talk about the priesthood's duties. And verse 6 says, but if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. That's the priesthood's responsibility. The priesthood, the watchmen have the watch care of the many. Now, before I was a member of the priesthood, I used to sit out there and I used to think it's all your responsibility. But you remember that auto, that home, that major appliance, that sacroiliac, I can't say that word. It's the owner's responsibility. And it is with your soul. Ultimately, you as members of the Church of Christ, your soul's welfare is your responsibility. The priesthood has watch care, but it's your responsibility. We have the articles of faith and practice. And in the Philippines, they use those. They know them. When's the last time you read your article of faith and practice? Been a long time, hadn't it? You're responsible for everyone there. You do not have to subscribe to everyone, but you're asked to accept them. It's your choice. The articles of faith and practice. Your responsibilities after baptism. I've got 5 pages of Romans type, size number 10 at home, duties and responsibilities after baptism. It's your responsibility. Whether you're aware of them or not, they're in these books. They're in the articles of faith and practice. They're in Zion's Advocate. It's the owner's responsibility. Turn in your songbooks to number 379. Stepping in the light. Verse 1. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy. How happy the songs that we bring. Pressing more closely to Him who is leading when we are tempted to turn from the way. Trusting the arm that is strong to defend us. Happy. How happy our praises each day. Walking in footsteps of gentle forbearance. Footsteps of faithfulness, mercy, and love. Looking to Him for the grace freely promised. Happy. How happy our journey above. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior upward. Still upward will follow our guide. When we shall see Him, the King, in His beauty. Happy. How happy our place at His side. Remember Cain and Abel? The sacrifice that Abel brought that was acceptable. The sacrifice that Cain brought that was unacceptable. Why? In these few stanzas here, it says that if we merely try to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King. The Book of Mormon, it says, simply put, the Lord Jesus Christ says, follow thou me. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect. Doesn't mean that you do not have to stumble and will not stumble. It simply says that if you try, Abel's gift, when he brought it, was acceptable. There might have been a blemish on it. He was asked to bring an unblemished. But if there was something not right with the sacrifice, but he still tried, the Lord accepted. But Cain, what was wrong in his heart? Was it simply lip service, going through the motions? Did he do it grudgingly? Did he love the Lord with that broken heart and contrite spirit that you and I are asked to bring? You and I. Trying to walk And if you simply try to walk, if you are trying to walk, where is your focus? Is it on your problem or the purpose in life? If you're left with your problems, you are self-centered. If you focus on your purpose, you still have your problems, but you've got a friend in Christ. And you've got a friend and brothers and sisters that love you, that pray for you, that hope for you, that will be there to support you. You still have your problem, but your purpose is firmly established. All you have to do is try. If we try, that's all he asks. And his grace is proffered. Helaman 2, verse 25 through 26. Thus we may see that the Lord is merciful unto all who will in the sincerity of their heart call upon his holy name. His mercy is extended to all those who will in the sincerity of their heart call upon his holy name. Birth, death, life in between, but if you call upon him in the sincerity of his heart, his mercy is extended, and it's not far as a crow flies. Yea, thus we see that the gate of heaven is open unto all, even to those who will believe on the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Simply by believing, the gates of heaven are opened to you. Are you shedding light? The entrance into this kingdom, do your friends, do your relatives, do your neighbors, do those that mock and spit upon you, do they know it? Because you're shedding your light, witnessing, testifying, sharing the truth that lies within your heart. Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, which is quick and powerful, which shall divide asunder all the cunning and the snares and the wiles of the devil, and lead the man of Christ in a straight and narrow course across that everlasting gulf of misery, which is prepared to engulf the wicked. And what is that gulf of misery? The problems that lie between birth and death and the choices that you and I make. If we're focused upon our problems, we're in that gulf. We're in that misery. And we feel it. We experience it. But if our focus is on our purpose, landing, not in the gulf, but on the other side, and land their souls, yea, their immortal souls, at the right hand of God in the kingdom of heaven. That's our goal. That's my goal. Is it your goal? Is it your purpose? Or are you caught up in your problems? The problems of life. And they wear upon us. They bear upon us. They pull us down. And sometimes they're not ours. Sometimes they belong to those that are very close to us, that we love dearly. Is our focus upon these problems or upon the purpose of life? Great nations and people topple, not from outside pressure, but from the vacuum within. If you have pressure, you feel it from the outside. And it removes what you have on the inside. It creates a vacuum. But if you've learned to absorb the light of Christ, there's not a vacuum. You are filled with something, a price, a gift, It was freely given because Christ died, because Christ prepared a gift for you and I. It's your choice. Is it your problem? Is it your purpose? You came in to the Church of Christ, or you're contemplating joining the Church of Christ, or you're here to reestablish your commitment to the Church of Christ, Jesus Christ. If that's your purpose, and that's your end, and that's your hope, what you hope for is not far as a crow flies. All kinds of choices that lie between. But if you're able to look to the other side, look to the other side. I don't know if you've ever been privy to a deathbed when someone is passing from this life to the next. I've been there on several occasions. I've been there when there was a fear in their eyes. And I've been there when there was a hope in their eyes. You're born into this life. You die out of this life. And if there is a fear when you leave this life, what will you come back? Resurrected in. But if there is a hope in your eyes, it's not far as a crow flies. And I thank you.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Following this service, we will have potluck dinner in the annex. And during the closing prayer, I'll offer the prayer over the food. On Wednesday evening, we will have our midweek prayer service. On August 14th, Tuesday, the Women's Department Fun Night Out at the newly renovated Mormon Visitor Center, followed by dinner at a local restaurant. Contact Michelle Fisher or Holly Cook if you're attending. So reservations can be made. Again, we offer two classes in Financial Peace University, Session 8, once on Friday, August 17th, and the other August 19th on Sunday. I was given an announcement that Bob McKebben was just released from the Veterans Hospital. He has an infected foot and cannot get around very easily. We would like for you to pray for him that he might be able to be healed from this. We also have another announcement that was handed to me, and that is the church breakfast at Bob Evans Restaurant at 17620 East 39th Street. And Independence will be on Thursday, August 16th. Attendees notify Sam Kidd at least 24 hours in advance of the meeting with the number of those who will be attending. I was handed a card, and it's, "Dear brothers and sisters, thank you for the beautiful plant and your prayers. The surgery went well, and I have been richly blessed. Apostle Buzz Brickhouse." This evening, preaching service will be at 6:30, and Elder Don Case will be our speaker of the hour. Will you turn with me now to hymn number 308? Thank you.